إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, we are going up from Juneau and up into Canada. Tomorrow evening we will inshallah be in Victoria and British Columbia. And so we are now cruising in the Pacific, and we can see the long Pacific swells which make this ship rock. Each of them has the strength and power to flip the ship over like a toothpick. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects. And so there's a gentle swing to the ship, and we can see the swell marching away off to the far horizon. Right at the end I can see a long range of blue mountains topped by a bank of clouds that looks like sofas. It's absolutely magical environment. I've never seen so much natural beauty anywhere in my life as I've seen in Alaska. We took a train ride yesterday in the Yukon Railway up in the mountains, with just the fall colors changing, crystal clear streams coming straight out of a glacier, ice cold water, the train track meandering up through the mountains, and the track is over 100 years old. And then we came back down, and as the ship was sailing, the scene was absolutely phenomenal. Blue-green, clear ocean water going off to the bank, which is not very far from where we were because we were in a fjord, which started with, the bank starts with a very thick stand of coniferous forest which goes halfway up the mountain, and then the black rock rears up its head high above everything else, topped by a glacier. So the combination of colors, aquamarine with multiple shades of green, with black, with white on top. Unbelievable. I mean, there's no way I can actually do justice to in my description. You have to see how Allah has created this world. And the thought that kept coming in my mind was, all this on a grain of sand. What beauty, what majesty, what glory. Talking of the glory of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Which brings me to my topic. I remind myself anew of the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. One is the book of Wahi, Al-Quran Al-Kareem. The other is the book of Ayat, the universe which surrounds us. Each of them speaks of the glory and majesty of the Creator, of the great complexity and delicacy of His creation, of His power and glory and majesty which is reflected in His creation, of His care and concern, of His rububiyat, the sifat are reflected in His creation. And the third book is the book about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, اقرأ كتابك, read your book. And this is the book that we will get in our hands. We ask Allah to give us that book in our right hands on the Day of Judgment. A book that each one of us is the author of, and which we are continuously writing in. As Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha said, each of you is an author, write whatever you want. And this book will be published on the Day of Judgment, and you will be given your copy. And it will be said to you, اقرأ كتابك, read your book. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to write this book in a way where when we read it, it will not be a source of humiliation for us, and that it will be a means of forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this book comes with an eraser called Tawbah, from which we can, if we write something that we regret, then we immediately make Tawbah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness. But what remains in the book when we die remains in the book, and that doesn't go away. And that's what will be in the book when we open it on the Day of Judgment. There are lessons for us to learn in all of these books. There are lessons from the Quran al-Hakim. There are lessons for us to take from looking at the universe and looking at the environment around us. And there are lessons for us to take from our kitab, our own kitab, which is our life. And each of these lessons is a lesson. It's meant for us to look at, to reflect on, and to make changes. And a person who looks and reads the book and either does not see the lesson or sees it but doesn't change, then this is somebody who is truly unfortunate. Among the lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Zahra al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydi an-nasi liyuziqahum ba'da alladhi ya'malu la'allahum yarji'un." In Surah Ar-Rum, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "The trials and tribulations and difficulties and fitan and masaib of the on the seas and on the land are the result of the deeds that are wrought by the hands of man." And Allah said that we give you a taste of it. We give you a taste of the result of these deeds so that you may turn towards us. Now, this tells us that the difficulties that come to us in our lives are, first of all, not given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to torment us, but these are the result of our actions. If I jump into the water from my balcony, then I will swim for a while and drown. And since this is the North Pacific, right up near Canada, it's very cold water. So whether it's hypothermia that kills me first or drowning, I don't know which, but that's what's likely to happen. Now, if I do jump in and then I say, well, why did God do this to me? Or why does Allah not do something about it? Now, what's an answer to that? Because I make the choice of jumping, getting out of my perfectly comfortable environment and jumping into the water, knowing fully well what the water will do, then who do I blame? But this is what we do in our lives. For example, we start a business, we borrow money on interest, we know the issue of interest, we know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates the people who deal in interest. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared war on the one who deals with interest, but we will borrow money on interest. And then when the house of cards that we created comes collapsing down around our ears, then we start looking for excuses, and we blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or we say, well, you see, this is not because of interest, it's because I just took a bad business decision, and if this had happened, I would not have done that, and if that had happened, I wouldn't have done this. All of which is just like me if I jump into the ocean and then I make all these noises about bad decisions and whatnot, and refuse to face one single fact, which is that the worst decision that I took was to jump into the ocean. So the worst decision that you took was to borrow money on interest. I'm giving you that as one example. There can be many others. Where we are writing our book, but we refuse to see the lessons, we refuse to act on the lessons, then what is the value of that life? What is the value of that time that we have spent? My brothers and sisters, I seriously remind myself and you, life is a journey. Life is a series of reflections. And we need to reflect, we need to think about this. Because if we don't do that, if we live our lives in a state of anesthesia, where we live as if we are, unconscious, there will be consequences. Consequences depend on the action. They don't depend on whether the action was taken consciously or unconsciously, thinking wise or not thinking wise. If you hold a crystal glass in your hand and you drop it accidentally, it will still break. And so also with these things, Of course, there is tawbah, we make tawbah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us, but we need to learn lessons from our own life. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a Muslim is one who doesn't put his, who's not beaten from the same hole twice. Meaning that to make a mistake once is acceptable. It's also a good sign. It means that you're thinking, it means that you're innovating, it means that you're taking chances and taking risk. But to make the same mistake twice is foolishness. It means that you didn't learn from the first mistake. As Paulo Coelho says, to make the same mistake twice, making the same mistake a second time, a mistake made the second time is a decision. I'm mangling up his quote, but basically he's saying that if you make the same mistake twice, the second time is not a mistake, it's actually a decision. We have to see it as if it's a decision, that you chose to do that. Because you knew it was a mistake, you knew what you had done wrong. And if you do it again, then one can only say that you wanted to do it, you chose to do it. And why would you want to choose to do something which causes loss? So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from that, to enable us to look at our lives. As I'm talking to the school of porpoises, which is swimming alongside the ship, and they play, and they come out of the water, and they fly through the air and they dive back inside. And this is behavior to give them more speed as they're chasing their prey. The air resistance is less than the resistance in water, so they swim like the waves. So they fly out in the air and they go into the water and they come out of the air again, and it's absolutely beautiful to see how fast these mammals, they're actually mammals, they're not fish, porpoises, dolphins, whales, how fast they swim. The ship is now doing about roughly 25 knots. Doesn't feel like that because of the size of the ship, but these porpoises are keeping pace with us, and some of them are racing ahead, so they're doing more than 25 knots. It's very impressive. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand our lives and to learn lessons from them, and not to suffer unnecessarily in this world because of what we do, because we refuse to learn, and even more importantly, not suffer when we meet Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.